Hi, Gunnerton Armstrong. You know, according to a lot of preachers, the Bible is the only book in the world that defies dictionary descriptions. It's the only book in the world for which a dictionary does you no good at all. For example, the meanings are all in reverse. I remember, well, years ago, a young Marine in the United States Marine Corps who wanted to know about this verse I had quoted in a sermon. Verse 23, the sixth chapter of Romans, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, if you look up in your dictionary the word death, it will tell you the exact opposite of what your preachers and your ministers will tell you. They'll tell you the exact opposite of what the dictionary says. I tell you, the dictionary is no good at all when it comes to the Bible. Apparently, according to some would-be preachers and teachers that are supposed to be telling you what God's Word is all about. Now, the way they read that scripture, they read it this way. "For the wages of sin is eternal life," don't they? It's what you've heard all of your life, isn't it? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the scripture in the Bible is giving you two totally different opposites. The one is death and the other is life. It is even called eternal life. And the Bible insists that the gift of God, eternal life, is on the other hand, in opposition to, totally juxtaposed to, the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. So the young Marine who knew what death was, at least he thought he did, I mean, he talked about the death of other Marines in warfare or the death of a dog or a cat that was run over by a truck, the death of a loved one or a family member, such as a grandparent or a parent who had died. And we discussed on how death comes about and how the brain finally ceases to function and how the heart stops beating and that we can die because of poisoning or because of a bullet strike or because of a fall or because of some cuts or injuries which allow the bloodstream to flow out of the body. He certainly was acquainted with death, and he knew what it was. So when I told him the Bible means what it says, it wasn't really that far-fetched to a young Marine Corps member who had not been all that skilled and all that educated, and I would put quotes around that word because I think it really should read miseducated by some of the preachers and evangelists of this world who will tell you that the wages of sin is eternal life. But you see, they say it is eternal life in a different state. A different place, a different state of being. They claim that the wages of sin is going, as a lot of them say, to hail fire. Now, you've heard people talk about a place called hell, haven't you? Maybe you've even heard some evangelists wax eloquent about their worm dieth not, and quote from Isaiah, the 66th chapter, that talks about where their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. You ever heard that scripture before? Why does the Bible insist, why does the Bible preach and teach that man is mortal, that man is temporal, that he is transitory, that he is subject to death, that he is subject to injury, to the aging process, to old age and senility and final death? Why does the Bible say that Jesus Christ died, that all of the apostles eventually died, that all the patriarchs and the great prophets, the men who are the champions and the heroes of the Bible, and many of them are listed in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the chapter that is called the faith chapter, and there they are, Enoch, Elijah, Jephthah, Samson, David, Abraham, Joseph, Isaac, Moses, all of these great men of the Bible are there, and it says of them, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise." And nobody believes the Bible. I mean, there are hundreds, literally, of millions of so-called professing Christians in the Western Christian professing nations, and this includes even so-called Christians in the Soviet Union, in the nation of China, the periphery of Southeast Asia, all of Australasia, of Australia, New Zealand, of the islands of the seas, where you will find American evangelists have gone down there into the South Pacific and have so-called converted people and got them believing in the immortality of the soul in an ever-burning hell and the idea that saints go immediately to heaven when they die. So here there are the great vast churches of the world, including the Roman Catholic Church, and hundreds upon hundreds of American and British and other Protestant, and that can include the Dutch Reformed and the Anglican. The Dutch Reformed is the national or the state church of Holland, and the Anglican is the Episcopalian, that's the American version of the Anglican Church, a Protestant church, but very closely allied in its recital of the Apostles' Code or Creed and so on. And yet every one of these vast, great church organizations believes the exact opposite of what this scripture plainly says. My Bible says the wages of sin are death. That what you get, the payoff for sinning, breaking God's law, is death. Now, I believe that. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible means what it says and says what it means. So I believe if you sin, the wages of that sin, if you don't repent of it, if God doesn't forgive you of it, are death. Now, since the Bible tells me it's given to all men to die once, and then comes the judgment, and it even speaks of the second death back in the book of Revelation, I also understand that the death that might occur to us at old age, or the accidental death in an automobile wreck, or through poisoning, or through a fall, or through sickness or disease, is not the wages of sin. It may be, in a sense, the wages of temporary sin, meaning somebody may sin, such as murder you or something. That certainly is a sin. But that is not the wages that you are going to pay for the sins done in your body and your life. The wages of sin is eternal death, death for all eternity, from which there is no respite and there is no resurrection. It is given to all men to die once, and then the judgment, says the Bible. So you see, I believe that scripture, but there are millions of people who deny it, who don't believe it, preachers who will not believe it and will not preach it. They will preach to you the exact opposite. They will say the wages of sin is eternal life, but it's living forever in hell. Now, the Bible says, but the gift of God, the word but means on the other hand, in opposition to. We're dealing here with two opposites. But the gift of God is eternal life. Really? Say the churchmen, Catholics and Protestants alike. No, it's not, they say. The Bible is wrong, they say. God is not telling the truth, they say. The Bible is in error, they say. Why, eternal life is something with which you are born. Every little baby is born having eternal life. Why, you have an immortal soul in you there somewhere. Somehow, every little baby, Vietnamese, Angolan, Portuguese, Australian, Chinese, German, Scandinavian, or American, whenever they're born, wherever, to some savages in the nether reaches of the Amazonian drainage in the Mato Grosso of Brazil, and they've got an immortal soul. Whether they're cannibals or not, doesn't matter. They've got an immortal soul in that little brown or red stained body. Now, is that so? Then why is it that every Bible help, every Bible handbook, even the companion Bible by Dr. Bullinger, and every diaglot and Greek interlinear and every exhaustive concordance and any and every other source you could quote or imagine, the expositor's Greek testament, the polyglot, the diaglot, and every other help you can look at in the Greek language in which those words were originally inspired to be written, were the word soul, which is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, from which we take one word, which is understandable and forms part of the word psychology, having to do with the mind, the psyche. The Greek word psuche is always rendered soul or mind, or it could be spirit or attitude. But when you see the English word soul, it comes from the Greek word psuche. The equivalent in the Hebrew language is ruach and also nephesh. Now, there's another word, ruach and pneuma are closely aligned between Hebrew and Greek, and nephesh and psuche are closely allied between the Hebrew and the Greek. Nephesh means being, body, that one, it, creature, beast, life, and is translated soul more often than in any other fashion in the Bible. It's used actually 5 times of lower life forms in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, the creation chapter, before it's ever used of man. And it says that man became a living soul. It says that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what man is. It doesn't say that man possesses or man has a living soul within the man. No, it says the man is a living soul. Hebrew word, nephesh. And that very same word is translated creature, or a creeping or a crawling thing, and is even translated in a couple of places, dead body. Now, in the New Testament, the word pneuma is translated spirit nearly always, but it can also be translated in other ways. And all you've got to do is to look at the derivation from the Greek into the English language of words such as pneumonia, having to do with sicknesses of the respiratory tract, or, of course, with the word pneumatic, meaning a tire that is blown into or blown up or inflated. And that's really the root meaning of the Greek word pneuma. It is like wind or breath or spirit, like spiritual essence. And so pneuma, soma, psuche are spirit, body, and life, or mind, body, and life. And those are the 3 Greek words that are used. And any little bit of fleeting research on the part of anyone into the meaning of those words would tell him or her that the Greek word for soul does not mean anything extra physical or eternal or spiritual or everlasting, but merely means the physical, chemical, temporary life of men and animals and dogs and cats. Now, I believe the Bible. But there are tens of thousands of professing Christians and their ministers who are shouting away out there about all the pangs of hell that don't believe the Bible. They don't believe that the wages of sin is death. You see, I believe in a hellfire. Oh, yes, I do. But mine, the one I believe in, hope it's not ever mine, is one which is millions of degrees centigrade hotter than the one in which most of the evangelists believe. They believe it's going to pop and spit and sizzle and blister on your unfortunate body. They believe it's going to torment your soul in some way. I believe it's going to burn people up who go into it. And I will tell you, there are scriptures in the Bible that absolutely bear me out, one of which even talks about how the wicked are going to become ashes under the feet of the righteous. That's in verse 3 of Malachi 4. You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Eternal of Hosts. What about that statement about immortal worms? I've written a very important article on the subject. Are there immortal worms in hell? What about that scripture in Isaiah 66? And verse 24, their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. How do you understand that? Write for my free article on Are There Immortal Worms in Hell? Just mention the worms, the article about worms in hell, or the article on hell, and I'll know what you're talking about. And it's free of charge, no price, and you will really come to understand, because believe it or not, there are worms that don't die. And I'll tell you what kind they are in the article. Absolutely free of charge. Till next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.